Tonight, Police Blotter, starring Bill Zuckert as Sergeant Brad Peters.
Name, Jenny Reynolds. Address, 1121 Dorchester.
Charge, murder.
The heritage that you and I share as Americans has been given to us by many great men. Men such as Meriwether Lewis and William Clark. The winter of 1804 was a hard one. Gusts of snow whirled around horses and men that made up the Lewis and Clark expedition. Doggedly, they pushed westward across the plains of the newly organized Iowa Territory and through the Rocky Mountains. Day after day, Clark noted watersheds and trails while Lewis sketched them in on the map. Two more winters passed before they returned, but they had reached the Pacific and claimed the vast, sprawling Louisiana Territory for the United States. They had opened up a whole new country for those who would follow. Their courage helped to build your America. It's part of your American heritage.
Good evening. This is Dirk Fredericks, your host for Police Blotter, authentic dramas of police work and the constant battle that goes on night and day against crime. Tonight, Police Blotter brings to life an exciting story dealing with a phase of the theatrical world. So listen now as Murder on the Fourth Floor on Police Blotter.
I'm Brad Peters, Sergeant, Homicide. You ever been inside a police station? The phone rings, might be anything from disturbing the peace to murder. Whatever or whoever it is, rich or poor, innocent or guilty, sooner or later I get to know them all. Sergeant Peters, Homicide.
Howdy, Sergeant. I got a case for you. A genuine case.
What is it?
Murder. Just plain murder. You better come up here and take a look at the body.
Where are you?
1406 Street. You take your elevator, you get off on the fourth floor, and then you go down the hall to room 48. I'll be waiting inside for you.
What's your name?
Roy Downs. Come over right away, because I can't stay here long.
I'll be right over, Roy. Just stay put. Room 48, according to the printed letters on the door, was the office of Marvin Jackson, casting agent. As I approached it, the door opened.
Oh, howdy.
A 6-foot cowboy in buckskin pants, fancy embroidered blouse, and a 10-gallon hat motioned to me to come in.
Well, I'm glad to see you're kind of prompt, Sergeant.
Where's the body?
Well, this here is what they call the outer office. Now, behind that door there is a private office. You'll find him in there.
All right, come along.
Yeah. What for? I seen him already. You ain't afraid of a corpse, are you, Sergeant?
I just want your company.
Oh, well, in that case, I'll be glad to oblige. Yeah, that's the way I found him. Sitting behind his desk with his head down like he was taking a nap.
Mm-hmm. How did you know he was dead?
Well, I went over and touched him on the shoulder. When he didn't move, I shook him. And then his head fell back. He was shot through the heart.
Is that Marvin Jackson?
Ain't nobody else. He can't see a word now, but you should have heard him when he was alive. The smoothest talker I ever met up with. Why, he could talk an Indian out of his tomahawk.
Did you do any business with him?
Well, not yet, but he kept promising he'd make me another Will Rogers, you know, swinging a lariat and chewing gum and saying funny things, you know, like everybody's always talking about the weather, but nobody ever does anything about it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Well, in fact, now, I give him $200 to get a feller to write me those funny things. And then he was going to book me in a show.
Well, it looks like you lost out.
Well, that's what made me come up here. I was getting tired of being put off. I made up my mind he was going to give me that booking or give me my money back.
You quarreled with him?
Well, didn't have a chance. When I walked into his private office, he was dead.
Uh-huh. I imagine you're a pretty good shot.
Oh, Hey, now, don't you go planting this on me. You can search me. I don't carry a gun.
Could have tossed it out the window.
Now, that's just why I didn't walk out of here. I didn't want to be suspected. If someone saw me, they'd sure tell the police. I did the smart thing.
Maybe.
Oh, now, look here.
Was
Sergeant.
Anybody in this office when you came in?
It was empty.
How about his secretary?
Well, he runs this office all by himself. His show people sit in the outer office, and he calls them in one at a time.
Then there's no one to prove that he was dead before you came in, huh?
No. Hey, wait a minute. I just remembered.
What?
When I came off the elevator and walked down the hall, a girl came out of Jackson's office.
You know her?
No.
What did she look like? Tall or short? Fat, thin, young or old?
Oh, she was a young'un.
All right, what was she wearing?
Oh, I can't remember.
Roy, are you making this up?
No, I give you my word. I saw the girl coming out of Jackson's office. I did.
You don't remember a single thing about her?
Well, yeah. I guess I do.
What is it?
She had the prettiest legs I ever seen in New York.
I couldn't get any more out of Roy Downs. I decided to let him go. I told him not to leave town. I called the coroner. Then I searched Marvin Jackson's desk. I found a book listing his clients' names, telephone numbers. There were more than 100. It would take a year to investigate. On his desk, there was a daily calendar. On today's date, there was a notation. Juliana, theater. I went through his address book, and I found only one Juliana. That was under the M's. Juliana Montaigne. But before paying her a visit, I decided to check with the elevator men in Jackson's building. No one remembered taking down a girl from the fourth floor at the approximate time of the murder. But if Roy was telling the truth, the girl could have walked down the stairs. And the description was worthless. I headed for the fashionable district where Juliana Montaigne lived.
Oh, the police?
May I come in, Miss Montaigne?
Oh, how rude of me, of course.
Thank you.
I'm not accustomed to visits from the police.
I came to see you about Marvin Jackson.
Oh, is he in trouble again? I'll call my lawyer and have him bailed out.
Well, that's not quite possible.
Don't be silly, I can afford it. Perhaps you don't remember me, Sergeant. Doesn't the name Juliana Montaigne mean anything to you? I was a star when I was 20. Musical comedy. Retired now.
Oh, yes.
Oh, we must get Marvin out. We're going to the theater this evening.
So I gathered from his desk calendar.
Such a dear boy. He knows how to cater to a woman, order the best food and the best wine, you know.
And you pick up the check, huh?
Certainly. I do so enjoy his company.
Well, I'm sorry, Miss Montaigne, you won't be enjoying his company anymore. Marvin has been shot, killed.
Oh, dear. No, that's... terrible, simply terrible. I was so looking forward to this evening. It was to be a sort of reunion.
Reunion?
You see, we had quarreled. He said he needed money. He wanted me to lend it to him, and I refused.
He came to you for money to pay off someone else?
Well, I didn't care about that. I never expected to get back what I loaned him. But he had broken his last two appointments with me. I found there was a young girl involved.
What was her name?
Gloria.
Mm-hmm. His second name?
I don't know.
He had been dating her?
Yes. I told him, frankly, if he didn't give her up, he'd get no more help from me.
And he gave her up?
So he said. That's why I bought the theater tickets. We were going to celebrate.
Miss Montaigne, have you any idea to whom he owed that money?
Not at all. But if that's why he died, then I'll never forgive myself for not helping him. You will try to find poor Marvin's murderer.
Yes, that's our business.
Of course. Oh, Sergeant.
Yes, Miss Montaigne.
It's a shame to have the theater tickets go to waste. Perhaps you'd care to be my guest?
Thanks, but I'm busy tonight. Goodbye, Miss Montaigne. Juliana didn't strike me as the type who would be jealous enough to kill. I decided to check on her story about Gloria. I went back to Marvin's office. I checked his black book. I found four Glorias listed, and I called the numbers. One was out of town with a show. One had gone back to Indiana. Another was working in a department store. And the fourth, Gloria Clinton, was at home, Tarwinova. She was a dark-haired girl, about 18.
Yes?
Are you Gloria Clinton?
That's my stage name. My real name is Gloria Beagle.
Uh-huh. What show are you in?
I'm not working now, but my agent's negotiating for a part in a new show.
Marvin Jackson, your agent?
How do you know?
Well, I found your name in his book.
You must have hundreds of names there.
When did you see Marvin last?
3 days ago. He asked me to meet him at a hotel. We went dining and dancing. We went to the Scarlet Slipper Club and we drank real champagne.
Who paid the check?
Well, he did, of course. I told him he didn't have to take me to such expensive places.
Gloria, was that your first date with him?
Well, he took me out twice before, always to some fancy place.
You sure you weren't in his office today? Answer my question, Gloria.
No, I wasn't. He told me not to bother coming up. He said as soon as he got news about the new show, he'd call me. Is anything wrong?
Well, you better get yourself another agent. Marvin Jackson is dead.
Dead? He had an accident?
He was shot.
Shot? Well, who did it?
We don't know yet. But a cowboy saw a girl come out of Jackson's office. Girl with pretty legs. That description could fit you, Gloria.
Thank you. I mean, about having pretty legs. That's when Marvin sure he'd get me in a show, but I haven't been near his office for weeks.
Did he by any chance tell you that he owed somebody $500?
No, all we talked about was show business.
Mm-hmm. Gloria, what shows have you been in so far?
None.
You ever been on the stage?
No, sir.
Where you from, Gloria?
Alabama.
Been long in town?
About 3 months.
Did you give Marvin Jackson any money to get you a job?
Now, why should I do that? He's supposed to get me a job for free, and then I pay him 10%.
Okay, Gloria. I may get in touch with you again.
What for?
You never know. Leaving Gloria, I had the same reaction as when I left Juliana. Gloria sounded innocent enough, but many a person with a face like a cherub is a murderer. At the station house the next day, I got a call from Juliana. Said she had some important information. I went up to see her.
I'm sorry, Sergeant. I couldn't give you that information over the telephone.
Why not?
I just happen to value my life.
I don't get it.
Haven't you heard of wires being tapped?
Oh, I don't think you need worry about that. Well?
Remember my mentioning the fact that Marvin wanted me to lend him some money? $1,000?
Yeah, and you turned him down?
Yes. I know now why he needed the money.
Why?
To pay off a debt. He gambled, you know.
Who did he owe it to?
Frankie Hines, a racketeer.
Frankie Hines was a known muscle man, smooth operator. He hired the best mouthpieces, gave us the laugh when he beat the rap. Frankie had a suite of rooms in an office building downtown. A sign on his door said, Frank Hines, construction consultant. I told the girl I wanted to see him. A few minutes later, she ushered me into his private office. He was dressed to the hilt, big grin on his face.
Sergeant. Well, it's nice to have the police come in with their problems.
You might know the answer to this one, Frankie.
Always glad to cooperate.
You ever hear of a man named Marvin Jackson?
Marvy? Sure, I know Marvy. Gets me tickets for shows.
You ever play cards with him?
Sometimes. He's a scared gin rummy player.
What did he lose last time?
Oh, about 1,000. I blitzed him a couple of times.
When he couldn't pay, you blitzed him again. For good, huh?
I don't need money that bad.
You let him have it right through the heart. Bingo.
Such language, Sergeant. I'll prove it to you. Kenny. Kenny?
Who's Kenny?
One of my boys, Kenny Reynolds.
You call me?
This is Sergeant Brad Peters. He wants some information.
About what?
Marvin Jackson. You're going to give it to him.
Wait, I don't get you, Mr. Hines.
Were you in the office here when Marvin Jackson came up to pay me some money?
Oh, sure.
Let me take over, Frankie.
Go ahead, be the D.A.
Kenny, how much money did Marvin Jackson give Frankie?
$950.
There you are. I've got a witness to prove he paid the debt.
Was it a check?
He gave Frankie nine C-notes and a 50.
Anything else you want to know, Sergeant?
Yeah. Would you have any idea who would want to bump off Marvin Jackson?
Nope. You come to the wrong place.
A girl came out of his office right after it happened. Do you know any girl who was sore at him?
He was quite a chaser.
This one had very pretty legs.
Well, one sure thing couldn't be my secretary. Sorry, you won't find anything here. This is a legitimate business office with homely secretaries.
Every lead ended up at a stone wall. I'd have to check every name in Marvin Jackson's book. As I thumbed through the pages, wondering where to start, the phone rang at the station house. Sergeant Peters, homicide.
Well, howdy, Sergeant. I got another case for you.
Who are you?
Well, don't you remember? I'm Roy Downs, a cowboy.
Oh, yeah. You are? What is it this time?
Just plain murder. You better come up here and take a look at the body.
Where are you?
Well, the address is 59 Quincy Street. I'll be waiting for you, Sergeant.
Hello, Roy.
Well, you came right fast.
How do you happen to be here?
I live here. I guess there's actors living in every room of this house. Just follow me.
Okay.
There she is.
Gloria Clinton.
You know her?
I spoke to her yesterday.
She was shot right through the heart.
You said the same thing when we looked at Marvin Jackson's body.
So I did, come to think of it.
Did you know her?
I never had the pleasure.
But you lived in the same house?
Oh, we just never met.
Were you the first to discover the body?
No, sir. It was the girl who lived in the next apartment. She screamed so loud, we all came running out. And when I saw what happened, I told him to leave it to me. I told him you were a personal friend of mine. Well, she went into this Gloria's room to borrow some bobby pins and found her this way. Dead. I figured you'd want me to question her, so I did.
Oh, yeah. You're being very helpful, Roy.
I got something else to tell you, Sergeant.
What is it?
Take a good look at Gloria's legs.
What about them?
Ain't they the prettiest legs you ever seen?
What are you driving at?
Look, I got a feeling that those were the legs I seen coming out of Marvin Jackson's office. Yes, sir. I recognize them red shoes.
It seemed a strange coincidence that Roy Downs should be present immediately after both murders. After sending for the coroner and leaving a patrolman in charge, I took Roy down to the station. I questioned him for hours, but I couldn't shake his story. The report came in from ballistics. The bullet that killed Marvin Jackson and the bullet that killed Gloria Clinton were fired from the same gun. So if Gloria was the girl who came out of Jackson's office, she must have found him dead when she got there. Why did she deny seeing him? Why was she murdered, too? I went back to search her apartment. Found a pack of letters with Alabama postmarks. One in particular interested me. It read, "Dear Gloria, I'm so glad to hear that you're not lonesome anymore. That young man you wrote about, Kenny Reynolds, he sounds like a real nice young man. I wish you would send me a picture of him. All my love, Mother." Kenny Reynolds was that young punk I met in Frankie Hines' office. It'd be a real pleasure to talk to him again. I started over to Hines' place. As I neared the office building, I saw Kenny approaching a taxi that was idling at the curb. I shouted at the top of my voice, "Hey, Kenny! Wait a minute!" Turned his head, recognized me, and jumped into the taxi. off it went. Another cab drove up to take that spot in front of the building, and I jumped in. I told the driver to follow Kenny's cab. Chased him for more than a mile, down one street, up another. Then he turned a corner. By the time we reached there, Kenny's taxi was at the curb. Kenny was running into an alley. I jumped out of my chair.
Stop, Kenny, or I'll shoot!
I fired in the air, and Kenny didn't stop. I ran after him. It's into the warehouse he went. And it took a few seconds to get accustomed to the darkness.
Why did you run, Kenny? I got a few questions for you about Gloria.
You'll never get me.
Drop your gun, Kenny. I'm out of there with your hands up.
Don't make me laugh.
You've got to get closer.
Shut up!
You like to drill him through the heart, don't you?
I'll get you the same way, copper.
Like you did Marvin and Gloria? Kenny, I'm coming after you.
Come on!
I stepped behind a stack of barrels piled on top of one another. I held my gun in one hand, and with the other I toppled them. As I expected, Kenny fired. I watched for the flash of his gun, and then I pulled the trigger.
My arm! My arm!
Kenny was on the ground, holding his arm.
Doctor, I'm bleeding to death.
Oh, you won't die so easy.
Hey, where are you going?
I got your gun.
Call a doctor. A doctor, do something for me. I'm bleeding to death.
Like all the punks.
Please.
You can't take it, huh? Come on your feet, Kenny boy. We'll patch you up nice and pretty for the trial. Name?
Kenny Reynolds.
The address?
1121 Dorchester.
Charge? Murder. At the trial, Kenny admitted he had given Marvin Jackson $1,000 to advance Gloria's career on the stage. When Marvin failed to get her a part, Kenny demanded his money back. Marvin laughed at the idea, so Kenny killed him. Knowing Kenny's intentions, Gloria went to Marvin's office to warn him. But she was a little too late. And Kenny feared that Gloria might report him to the police. So he killed her, too. Jury brought in a verdict of guilty of murder in the first degree. Kenny paid the penalty. Signed, Sergeant Brad Peters. Homicide.
You have just heard Police Blotter, starring Bill Zuckert as Sergeant Brad Peters. The cast included Roger DeCoven, Peter Fernandez, Elaine Rost, Nancy Sheridan, and Lawson Zerbe. Tonight's drama, Murder on the Fourth Floor, was written by Ed Ettinger and directed by Clark Andrews.
Police Blotter has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.